Welcome to Building a Better Brain, sponsored by EEGChicago.com, with your host, Dr. Jim Kowal, on Chicago's Christian Talk Radio, AM 1160. The professionals at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers of neurofeedback throughout the Chicagoland area. To learn more about this weekly program, Building a Better Brain, or to find a provider in your area, visit EEGChicago.com. That's EEGChicago.com. And now your host, Dr. Jim Kowal.
Through the airwaves over the beautiful Windy City, good morning, Chicago, and welcome to Building a Better Brain. This is the eighth of our 13-week series that will provide you information on how you can improve your brain and overcome a number of difficulties and blocks that keep you from performing your very best. Today, I'm very pleased to have two special guests with me, Dr. Stephen Best, a neuropsychiatrist from the Neuroscience Center, and Dr. Daniel Prevel, nuclear medicine physician from the Pathfinder Brain Spec, with us here this morning. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Best. Dr. Stephen Best is a board-certified psychiatrist who has completed a subspecialty fellowship in neuropsychiatry of children and adults at the University of Chicago Medical School. He has also completed special training in psychopharmacology and is a member of the American Society of Clinical Psychopharmacology. In addition to having his own EEG lab on site, Dr. Best has embraced many of the newer techniques. He has scientific and clinical training in brain stimulation using repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation, vagal nerve stimulation, transcranial low voltage electrical stimulation, as well as a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. His recent interest is in harnessing the synergistic effects of these and other techniques in a novel way to treat chronic depression, substance abuse, and chronic pain. This has enabled him to address very complex and very serious problems by allowing a targeting of inflammation associated with neurological and neuropsychiatric illnesses that can harm one's emotional health and or cognitive abilities. So I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Stephen Best to the program. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for letting us join you.
You're welcome. This is wonderful. Before we move on, I want to introduce Dr. Prevel. Dr. Daniel Prevel is a board-certified nuclear medicine physician trained at Northwestern University Medical School and joined the nuclear medical section of the University of Illinois Medical Center here in Chicago. In 1977, he became the director of the nuclear medicine and in 1982, professor of radiology and nuclear medicine. He has also worked at the laboratories for neuroscience at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. His special interest is in computer processing of functional imaging using single photon emission computer tomography, or as we know it, brain spec scans. He has published and lectured on the use of brain spec, both nationally and internationally. And in 2005, Dr. Prevel became the director of Pathfinder Brain Spec at the Neuroscience Center in Deerfield and is listed among the top doctors listing compiled by Castle Connolly Medical Limited. And I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Prevel to the program. Hello, Dan. Glad to have
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Glad to have you here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. You know, it's great to have both of you here today. You have incorporated so much of this high technology in both nuclear medicine and in brain stimulation to address some very serious and very difficult conditions in both children and adults. But before we begin, I'm curious, Steve, what led you into brain stimulation as a way of treating psychiatric disorders?
Well, to be straight about it, I was tired of causing people to get ill with the medications that I would prescribe to try and help them with their awful suffering. As an example, people with bipolar depression who felt very ill and wanted assistance with their depression, but at the same time had a great risk of becoming actively manic or too excited and taking the medication.
Mm-hmm. Good. I can certainly understand that. I see a lot of patients come in who have been through an entire regimen of psychiatric medications and feel worse than they did when they started out on that course of action.
Yeah, we're supposed to be helping, and sometimes we don't really give the gift that we were asked to give.
Mm-hmm. As you know, good treatment always starts with good, accurate, and thorough information. And this is especially true when you're working with something as complex as the human brain. Tell us, Dan, how does the brain spec help in diagnosis and the ultimate treatment?
Well, Jim, I'm glad that you used the, instead of using the correct diagnosis, you used the term correct information about the brain. Because one of the problems is that people get hooked on the notion of diagnosis, when in fact the difficult cases are suffering with comorbidity, that means coexisting conditions. And that's where there is becomes a difficult matter of treating them. And that is where BrainSpect comes in. BrainSpect is not so much a method that makes a diagnosis, but because it is a functional evaluation of the brain in contradistinction with the structural information like MRI, it enables me to give information about the gray matter and tell the treating neuropsychiatrist certain areas of the gray matter are in a hyper-functioning mode and certain areas are in under-functioning mode. This is the result of years of evolution, most of the time, of a variety of conditions. And the steady state, the status of the brain at the time they come for a brain spect, is what the neuropsychiatrist needs as an additional information before deciding on the treatment strategy. So the indication for brain spect is not a certain diagnosis. The indication is the existence of coexisting conditions in the same patient.
Yes, that's excellent. And to go further, Steve, you have a complete EEG laboratory at your facility that gives you very detailed information about the electrical activity of the brain. I like to say that an MRI shows you the condition of the hardware and that the EEG and the SPECT scan shows you how that software is running in that hardware. Can you tell me, Steve, how does an EEG work in your overall assessment of patients?
Well, the SPECT scan gives us more of a picture of long-standing health or illness. The EEG tells us moment to moment about things that are vital to human experience, like attention and awareness. In an EEG lab, when performing EEG or evoked potential analysis, we can watch how the brain reacts from instant to instant or doesn't react. The reason this is important is that the more we understand about the brain, the more we understand that most of the conditions that are troubling us in the everyday clinical world are related to basic activation or deactivation of portions of the brain. In general, and especially at some times of illness, when the brain isn't well, it looks more like it's asleep. Mm-hmm. We can find that in many ways, from the most common sense of analyses to the most in-depth of those. And with a relatively simple test like an EEG, it's non-invasive. It's cheap in comparison to most anything. We can get enormous amounts of information that have almost 100 years of database at this point.
Mm-hmm. And that would be extraordinarily helpful, especially when working with something as complex as the brain. Tell me, Dan, are there any age restrictions in doing brain specs on someone?
No, there are no age restrictions practically. There are only cooperation restrictions. In other words, if, for example, a young child needs a brain spect, there is no contraindication doing the brain spect. But if that child cannot stay still for the 25 minutes that acquisition lasts, then it cannot be done. in special cases, we can circumvent this by using general anesthesia, but that becomes a much more involved procedure, and we have done that in the past with success. But other than that, there is no age restriction. We are very careful in adjusting the dose administered based on the patient's age, height, and weight. So the children are, of course, getting a much smaller dose administered than adults, or even in adults, between the frail old lady and the big basketball player, there will be a significant amount of difference in the amount administered. So there are no contraindications for age.
Mm-hmm. Good. So by using things like the brain spec and EEGs, you have an excellent way of determining what's happening in the brain, so that you then have the ability to go beyond just psychopharmacology and begin incorporating the expertise and brain stimulation to treat patients, and neurofeedback to help people literally build a better brain. And it sounds like you've gone far beyond just prescribing antidepressants to someone who is chronically depressed. And I want to get into more of this after our break. I'd like to ask you things that people are usually very interested about. Is this kind of treatment effective? How long does it take? How long does it last? And when you get into the field of nuclear medicine, is it safe? So we will be right back after a short break to dive into an even deeper level of how to collaborate all of these technologies and help people improve a better brain. So we will be right back with Dr. Stephen Best and Dr. Daniel Prevel.
Did you know you can safely make changes in your brainwave patterns through neurofeedback, which can significantly improve conditions such as ADHD, minor traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, autism, and a host of other problems? The dedicated professionals at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers who can help improve your life or the quality of life of your loved one. Visit the EEG Chicago website today at eegchicago.com. You'll learn new, exciting information on how neurofeedback trains the brain to function with greater control and stability. By learning to adjust the brainwave activity, you can improve your life through this safe and drug-free approach. Visit the website for locations near you and to contact an EEG Chicago professional. Tell them you are an AM 1160 listener. Ask for a first-time consultation. Visit eegchicago.com and learn how to build a better brain. Have you ever wondered about the magic of the brain's functioning? Did you know you can learn to adjust your brainwave activity with neurofeedback? Neurofeedback safely improves conditions such as ADHD, minor traumatic brain injury, autism spectrum disorders, anxiety, depression, as well as many other disorders. The team of specialists at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers of neurofeedback. Visit their website for a provider in your area and learn how to build a better brain today. Go to eegchicago.com. The highly qualified EEG providers are dedicated to helping improve your life and the quality of lives of your loved ones through this drug-free and safe approach. Visit their website today at eegchicago.com. That's eegchicago.com. Building a better brain can be a reality in your life. Count on the professionals at EEG Chicago to create a treatment plan just for you. Visit eegchicago.com today.
Welcome back to Building a Better Brain. You know, some time ago, I was attending a lecture by Dr. David Burns, a well-known published psychiatrist. He authored the popular book, Feeling Good, and he said to the audience, "Psychiatry will not make any further advances until we stop treating the brain as if it's just a chemical engine and begin treating it as if it's an electromagnetic engine." It seems like that's what you guys are doing at the Neuroscience Center. Can you tell us about that, Steve, on how you're bringing together these technologies and the treatment of people?
Sure. Well, in general, what we're doing with the kinds of electromagnetic stimulation that we use here, we're adding to and altering the abnormal baseline rhythms of the brain. So we're not actually changing the way people think at the level of, say, mind control, but we can wake the brain up. As I said earlier, if you think about these illnesses as having something in common where parts of the brain, so to speak, are offline or asleep or relatively asleep, those are conditions that are classified under the notion of a thalamocortical dysrhythmia. What that means is the pacemakers of the brain deep inside, along or inside of the brainstem, are not regulating and directing the flow of information in the higher brain or cortex and its organs. If we can alter that set of rhythms, we've got a great chance of allowing the brain to return to its own homeostatic health. The brain knows how the brain should be. It takes an enormous amount of illness or disruption in order for the brain to lose control of itself. But when it does, it becomes locked into these steady state rhythms. Usually they're very slow. Sometimes they're much too fast. In general, the neuromodulations, everything from magnetic stimulation to low voltage electrical stimulation to vagal nerve and deep brain stimulation, and the neurofeedback interventions are altering those rhythmic interactions. And that's what we all have in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of the brain as a pattern engine. It develops patterns, and then it just executes those patterns over and over and over again. And sometimes we call them habits, but that is what I think you're talking about. It gets into that rhythmic pattern, and whether it be health or illness, it repeats that pattern until there is some type of intervention. Is that right?
Yes. So if you look at the brain from the point of view of patterns, there are really three levels. It used to be thought there were primary and higher processes, but at this point we can talk about built-in baseline rhythms, then habit rhythms, which you're referring to, and then those higher cognition rhythms, which are the ones that we're trying to return to maximal efficiency by affecting the habitual or long-standing abnormalities that you can see on Spectra EEG.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, do you find this kind of collaboration using these technologies to be more effective than just treating them with psychopharmacology?
Yes. And to be direct about that, it's terrifying to think about treating somebody with a serious illness without direct objective visualization. What I mean by that is I want to know what I'm treating. Sometimes that might be through testing pen and paper, and sometimes it's through imaging. All of these diagnostic activities we're talking about are forms of functional imaging of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Now, people are always looking for a quick fix. What do you say to people, Steve, when they ask you, how long will this take?
Well, I remind them that we might be able to get rapid improvement, but that it takes quite a while for the brain to actually get healthy. In general, the rule of thumb has been that it takes around 2 years for the brain to recover from a severe concussion or from poisoning such as chronic substance abuse. It takes that long for the EEG to become as stably normal as it might be. That's probably consistent with how AA came to understand that it takes a year to get towards something like sobriety.
I see. Mm-hmm. And when people come in and they get ready to do an EEG, they are sometimes worried that they're thinking about certain things or they're anxious about something that's going on at work, and they're going to portray an EEG different than what they normally are. How do you explain that to them?
Well, remind them that we're not measuring that level of cognition. We're not even pretending to. We don't use the machines to read minds.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Tell me, from your experience, when you train the brain using brain stimulation and or neurofeedback, how long does that last?
The training can remain for the rest of a person's life. I have people that I treated with magnetic stimulation 14 years ago who are better and have stayed better. That doesn't mean that they're, so to speak, cured. That's not something I'm in the business of. But when it comes down to whether the brain can learn a new and healthy rhythm, the answer is absolutely.
Good.
We know that. I wanted to correct something. From my point of view, neurofeedback is also brain stimulation. That's why I call them neuromodulation. I don't think of it as non-medical simply because it is so indirect as to be active at the point of view of these so-called behavioral trainings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Dan, being in nuclear medicine, I'm sure people ask you, is the SPECT scan safe?
Of course, it's a question that always comes. In general, there is always the risk-benefit ratio that is applied in any kind of medical testing, certainly in all the things that relate to x-rays. So here is the same thing. If somebody doesn't need a brain SPECT, you don't want to administer unnecessarily the small amount of radioactivity that we give. On the other hand, things have to be put into perspective and to realize that just by moving from Chicago to Denver, you are increasing your exposure to the equivalent of gamma rays, to the increased amount of cosmic rays that are coming with or flying over the North Pole to Tokyo gives you a significant amount of radiation. So things always have to be put in perspective. But it's a matter of risk-benefit. The patients that are coming to us are coming to brain specs, are having this comorbidity which really makes life absolutely miserable. And the reason why people like Steve say we need to look at the brain is because if you take the simple example of disinhibition of youngster coming with explosive disorders or tantrums or fits of rage or something like that, the disinhibition can be related either to areas of massive hyperfunctioning or to a definite area, large areas of underfunctioning. In other words, the brake mechanism of the brain are weak, so they cannot interfere with whatever impulses are coming. And it's very important to know which one of these two variants you are dealing. That's one example of where brain SPECT in patients with coexisting condition can make such a difference that discussing the risk becomes really an academic exercise and has to be put in its proper perspective.
Right. Well, good. We're just about out of time. Steve, do you have a website for your practice in Deerfield?
Yes, you can find us at neuroscience.md.
Wonderful. And I really want to appreciate both of you for being here this morning. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Dan. Next week, we will continue exploring ways in which people can build a better brain. I also want to remind you, if you want more information, if you want to see firsthand what neurofeedback is about and have all your questions answered whether neurofeedback is right for you, you can come to a free information seminar that's held around the Chicago area. I'm doing one next Friday evening at 7 p.m. at the Ruhr Center at 1110 North Washington Street in Naperville, right off of I-88. For more information, you can just email me at drjim@ultimatebrain.com or go to eegchicago.com for times and locations. For now, I certainly want to extend my appreciation to our guests, Dr. Best and Dr. Pervell. I'd like to also thank the members of EEG Chicago and, of course, the entire crew here at WYLL Chicago, Christian Talk Radio. Remember, the brain is a pattern engine. It loves to execute patterns that result in thoughts, behaviors, and feelings. Practice those patterns that express love to one another, and you will come to experience feelings of joy and peace. Thank you for listening to Building a Better Brain.
You've been listening to Building a Better Brain with show host Dr. Jim Kowal from EEGChicago.com on Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160. To learn more about today's topic, their Chicagoland locations, seminars in your area, or general information, visit EEGChicago.com. You can also email Dr. Jim with your questions and comments anytime at drjim@ultimatebrain.com. Join Dr. Jim Kowal again next Saturday morning at 7:30 to explore ways to restore and expand your brain's functioning safely and drug-free.